Psalm chapter 15. In our series on Proverbs and Problems, we come to a very serious matter, and that's the problem of gossip. Psalm chapter 15. And for those of you who like to outline, we're going to deal with the characteristics of a person who gossips. How can you tell if that's you or your friends? Then we're going to look at the consequences of gossip, and then we'll talk about the control of gossip. How do you control it? I'd like to begin by saying that every one of us has a natural tendency to listen to gossip and to repeat gossip. We have a natural tendency. Psalm 15, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at interest or usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The things that are concluded in this passage about those who aren't walking with the Lord as the kind of people they are, and it mentions gossip and backbiting and taking up an reproach against a friend. And it literally means you receive it. Somebody put your friend down and you accepted what they said and did not defend your friend and did not challenge and confront what was said. There's a lot of interesting things in this Psalms, and our center of attention, of course, is the book of Proverbs. But let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we pray that as we examine the problem of gossip, that you will help us to see ourselves. We won't simply be thinking about others, but we'll be thinking about ourselves. We all need to be careful. Teach us, Lord. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week alone, I decided to just count them up. The amount of rumors and gossip that could have hurt some people, I had five specific incidents. In each one of them, the people involved, some were lay people in the church, some were ministerial in nature, whether here and elsewhere. And in these five cases, every single person believed that what they were saying was the truth. And in every case, all five of them, it was not the truth. I have discovered that it is a lot easier to repeat that which is not true than to find out what is true. I have found that it is something about us that wants to hear the failure, the trouble, the suffering, and the heartache of other people without ever investigating it as to whether it is the truth or not. It is a terrible thing in the Christian world, gossip. Sometimes it is prefaced with these unique spiritual sounding words. I want you to pray about something. Oh, doesn't that make it sweet? I want you to pray about it. But you have no right to share it. Once you find out what the Bible says, you'll see how many times we have no right to do that at all. And that we should be defending and protecting each other a lot more than we are. Very interesting subject. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, please, verse 18. Let's take a look at the characteristics of a person who gossips. How do you spot one? How do you spot it in your own heart? And there are really six basics that I would draw to your attention from the book of Proverbs. Six basic characteristics. In chapter 10, verse 18, it says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Isn't that an interesting thing? Didn't necessarily tell a lie, but you really had hatred in your heart, and you covered it up. And God says you got lying lips. And whoever spreads slander, that's what we call a parallelism. In the poetic usages of Proverbs, that's called parallelism. What it means is that the second statement is like the first. So spreading slander is the same thing as hiding hatred. Now, what I'm telling you, you just keep this in strict confidence, and it's something we can pray about. But that so-and-so, you won't believe what he did. I mean, I still find it a real shock. Now, all of this talk, of course, is a symptomatic of a problem of gossip. We wouldn't even do that unless we had the problem. So we set it all up. And then before we know what's happening, slander is being spread. Well, how did you know that? Oh, let me tell you, I heard it on very good report information. I mean, I wouldn't lie to you, right? And I'm telling you, this is what happened. Really? Well, that's terrible. Well, we should probably, get some people to pray about it. Well, that'd be a good idea. We could turn it on the prayer chain. I mean, that'd be a sure way to get it around, and folks would know to pray. Hey, folks, this happens so easily, spreading slander. And God says the root is that there's hatred in your heart. Otherwise, you wouldn't do that. If you loved them, you would cover the situation completely. Boy, that's hard to face, isn't it? Because you don't want to say, I hate, I'm just trying to inform you so you can be more intelligent in your prayer life. Really? The Bible says, he who spreads slander, that's what it says, is a fool. Turn to chapter 11, verse 13. A second characteristic that not only spreads slander, but they reveal secrets. By the way, a little caution on number one. Whenever anything puts down a brother or sister in the Lord, immediately check it, no matter who it is. Immediately check it. Whenever anybody puts anybody down, immediately check it. If the information makes somebody who is a believer in the Lord look in a bad light, like they failed, they stumbled, or whatever, check it immediately and say, well, have you been to that person to try to help? That's one way to deal with it. Or say, well, let's just pray about that right now and really ask the Lord for us not to tell anybody else. I'm just sorry I know that information, and I don't know if it's true or not. But we better stop it right now. How about you and I, since you shared it with me, going to them and asking them about it? It's interesting, isn't it? The way we operate. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, it says, a talebearer, that's the same word for gossip, reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Now, you and I both know that this is a very important point in counseling and in the legal profession, where we are not to betray confidences. This is spoken in confidence, and therefore it is not to be shared. The Bible says a talebearer reveals secrets, and he is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Now, this is poetic device by contrast, not parallelism. The contrast is between one who conceals what he knows and one who reveals what he knows. One of the surest characteristics of a gossip or a slandering spirit is when you immediately reveal it. You want to tell somebody instead of protecting it. Chapter 20, please, verse 19. It says, he who goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Now, flattering with your lips in this context is kind of interesting, because you're actually revealing secrets, but doing it in a way that deceives the person that you're talking to. And so you wind up being a gossip. You're very good at it. You're able to cover it up. But in reality, because you revealed a secret, you're telling something that you don't have a right to share. You, in fact, are guilty of gossip. Back to Proverbs chapter 10 again. Look at verse 12. Another characteristic is that he stirs up and sows strife. One of the characteristics of a person who gossips or spreads rumors is they stir up and they sow strife. Strife and division among the people of God. It's a terrible thing. There's an example, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and following, about division in the church at Corinth. And it said it had been reported by those of Chloe. Somebody had spread a rumor and caused division in the body of Christ. That could happen so often. Many believe that that's what Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 4, when he said, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Some believe that they were spreading rumors. We don't know. Or it could be they were just upset against one another and talking against one another to others. But Paul said, hey, I want you to stop it. You're causing division among the members of the body of Christ. In Proverbs 10:12, it says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. It's hatred in our hearts that stirs up strife and causes it. Love covers all sins. Chapter 16, verse 28. One of the hardest things that a Christian must bear is when he learns about another fellow Christian that they have fallen. That's very hard. And even when it's the truth, and you try to deal with it and you find out it's been handled properly, it's very hard not to bring it up again. And that's very hard. But love will cover it. And I read in 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. He sows strife. Look at chapter 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer or gossip, strife ceases. If you were attending a church seminar in church relationships and somebody asked you, how do you stop division and strife in the church? There could be a lot of ramifications of that discussion. Actually, Proverbs tells you, find out who the gossip is, stop it right there, and the whole thing, it's over. That's what Proverbs says. If you don't have any gossip around, no talebearer, then it'll stop right on the nose. So how does all this strife happen? Because rumors are spread. You know, it's interesting to me as I was examining this that when truth is communicated to you, it does not mean that you are to tell it to somebody else. You know, it's bad enough when you hear something, it's a rumor, you don't know whether it's the truth or not, you should look into it. But isn't it interesting that when truth is shared with you, it does not mean automatically that therefore you're to say to somebody what you just learned, even though it's the truth. Because if there's love in your heart, it might cover what the truth is, so that it can be properly resolved and handled. Interesting. When an issue, this happened to me just last week, when an issue in the life of somebody is very serious, they've fallen into sin, they get right with the Lord, and they're now on track for the Lord, and then somebody hears about the fact they've fallen into sin, and then says, did you hear that so-and-so fell into sin? And no, I didn't. And then it spreads. Finally, it got back to me and said, Pastor, did you hear it? Listen, 2 months ago, it was already solved. I've seen more people's lives hurt because we do not apply love to people. It's easy when we hear the truth, that it's really verified, to believe now we're under divine responsibility to share that truth. No, we aren't. I beg your pardon. That is not what the Bible teaches. Sometimes it is necessary, but we may not even be involved in the process, and it isn't our part at all. Even if we know what the truth is, it isn't our part to share it if we're not responsible for the caring of that matter. Very important. A fourth characteristic is simply the matter that you repeat something. A gossip is one who repeats a matter. Turn to Proverbs 17, verse 9. A person who gossips is somebody who repeats a matter. They have no business to repeat it. It's not necessary to repeat it. They just do. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. Now, in this particular case, looking at the poetry of that passage, we know that the matter under discussion is a transgression. It is honorable to cover it, even though it's been a transgression against you. I say some of the highest honor belongs to members of the body of Christ who have had transgressions committed against them, who in fact refuse to tell anybody else, but simply confront the one who transgressed against them and wait patiently for the Lord to solve it. And if the Lord never does, they still will not seek revenge. That is godliness. But it's so easy because we get hurt by people who transgressed against us to want to tell somebody else. It's like, I need to get this off my chest. Well, we ought to say, keep it. I don't need it. I don't want to hear it. Hey, if you promise not to tell, hey, don't even promise. Now, many, many times somebody will say, whether it's a pastor, a professional counselor, or attorney, hey, will you promise me that you won't tell anybody? And then they proceed to tell you they just shot somebody down the street and stole a bunch of money. Hey, I'm going to tell somebody, okay? So don't promise to tell them anything. Say, well, I'll tell you this, that I won't tell anybody unless it's necessary, according to the Bible, to do so. I've had kids say that, but wait a minute, maybe I need to tell your parents. Well, then I'm not going to tell you. Great, don't tell me. But a lot of us, because we like to hear some say, oh, please, please, I'll do my best. I promise. I won't tell. What's the matter with us? See, if we would only become stronger in our desire to protect, stronger in our desire to defend, stronger in our desire to have only those people deal with it who belong dealing with it, and the rest of us stay out of it, we would see more healing in the body of Christ than hurt. There are people here who are badly hurt, who are not even ministering anymore, are sitting here in the congregation trying to get their act together, listening to the Word of God, enjoying the worship, but not wanting to get involved in anybody's life. And I'm not here to embarrass you, but these are the following names involved. No. But my point is, I understand that. It happens all over the United States. And maybe you got a hurt somewhere in another church and you moved over here and kind of hid in the crowd and you've decided to just be quiet and let the Lord heal your spirit. I understand all that. I really do. But it grieves me too. It really grieves me. Terrible things. You can destroy people's lives so quickly by what you share. We need to be very, very careful. Look at Proverbs 21:28. It says much the same thing. Proverbs 21:28. A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. Boy, is that ever a warning. Now, God's going to deal with the man who's a false witness, but isn't it interesting? The one who hears the false witness speaks endlessly. The point, the rumor keeps going and going and going, and it was all based on a false report. It was not true, but it spreads like wildfire. One writer on gossip says that error dressed up in partial truth, listen to that again, error dressed up in partial truth spreads more rapidly than the truth itself. I think that's true. Pardon the pun, but I think it's true. Error dressed up in partial truth, just a few things that are true, will spread more rapidly than the truth itself. And that's very true. The fifth characteristic of a person who gossips is they do evil to their friends. Psalm 15:3, we read a moment ago. They do evil to their neighbor or friend. Psalm 15:3 says, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. It's commending the godly man who doesn't do that. And in there we have a characteristic of a gossip. They literally do evil to the person who obviously is their friend because they spread the rumor. They tell the matter without any authority to do so or any accountability involved. That is a terrible thing to do to your friend. Number six, and this one's obvious. The characteristic of a gossip is that he likes to hear it. He likes to hear it. Proverbs 18:8. And here's where we need to deal with ourselves. We like to hear it. And by the way, the more important, influential, the more significant that person is to you, the more likely you will spread a rumor. That's interesting, isn't it? Maybe that will help us decide why we're doing what we're doing. The more influential, the more important that person is in your eyes, the more likely you will spread a rumor about that person, whether it's true or not. Somebody is insignificant, means nothing to you. You don't even care. So there's something in us that needs to be dealt with. And this is very interesting. In Proverbs 18:8, it says, the words of a gossip or a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. It's hard to get it out, folks. And when you hear gossip, there's something about us that likes it. It tastes good. Really? Oh, you can tell me. And they start, well, you're not going to believe this. Oh, try me. It's almost like the words that you use to preface it stirs the person. They want to taste it immediately. You know, I probably shouldn't tell this. Right away, oh, please. Please, you can count on me. Please. You know, what I need to share with you is super sensitive and, you know, could really, really hurt somebody's life. Oh, I'll pray much about it. You can count on me. Really. You know, folks, the Bible is true, and what we say is not always true. And I need to confront myself, and so do you, with this. We enjoy hearing this stuff. That's what God's Word says. And that's where the problem is and why we need to be controlled and why we need to face it. Look at chapter 26, verse 22. You know, when we read things like this, it's horrible to us in a way. We want to think of somebody else who's guilty. But Proverbs 26, 22 says, the words of a talebearer, a gossip, again, are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. As most men conclude, when a proverb is repeated exactly, it is done for emphasis and is a crucial proverb to the whole book's message. This one is repeated. They're like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. We like to hear them. And you know, when you say something about someone, even when it's not true, and you want to know the untruth is down in you. The rumor gets into you, and the rumor affects your relationship with that person. And there's some people right here in the church that live with rumors of many years ago. And they weren't true at all. And even though it was dealt with, people have a tendency to believe the rumor that they heard rather than the truth about that person. It's a terrible thing, gossip. What are some of the consequences? Turn to Proverbs 11, verse 9. What kind of consequences do we face in this matter of gossip? Well, for one thing, it destroys a reputation. It destroys a reputation. In Proverbs 11, verse 9, it says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. The hypocrite, obviously, is not giving correct information. That's the point of the proverb. And he has hypocrisy in his heart because he's falling into the gossip trap. He really doesn't want to help. He's destroying, the Bible says. And he does it with his mouth. Folks, you can destroy a person's reputation and character by the things that you say. This past week, we were discussing a particular person in the Lord's service. And a certain statement was made about that person that happened 15 years ago. Since I knew the situation, I knew what the truth was about it, at least from my perspective, having been a part of it. When I was listening to the discussion, the people involved were not there 15 years ago, did not know the person, and did not know the truth. What they told me, I knew exactly that it was the rumor, and it was not the truth. And what astounded me was 15 years later, this person in the ministry still suffers from the falseness of the rumor that was said 15 years ago. And it wasn't true at all. Did you know that our Lord Jesus warned us about this stuff? He did. It's going to happen, people. People are going to slander you, misrepresent you, falsely judge your motives. They're going to criticize you about things that aren't true, that you never did. And Jesus said, blessed are you when people do that to you, for great is your reward in heaven. Imagine that. Hey, did you hear the rumor about me last week? Boy, wasn't that a terrific one. Praise the Lord. Why don't you guys share that around the world a little bit? Blessed are you. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Chapter 25, please. You talk about destroying a person's reputation and life. Chapter 25, verses 8 to 10. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your friend has put you to shame? Wow. You jumped too quickly. You drew too fast of a conclusion. Debate your case with your friend himself, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. Boy, what a passage. Proverbs 25, 8 to 10. What's the consequences of gossip? You destroy a person's reputation. To those of you who have suffered some hurt in this regard, let me give you a little statement I learned in college that has stuck with me, and it means a lot. Your reputation is what people think you are. Your character is what God knows you to be. Don't ever forget that. Number two, a second consequence, a very terrible one that we've already seen in a couple of verses, is that it separates friends from each other. You ever wonder why you're having trouble or a little tension with somebody who you thought was your friend, or you've had, you know, opportunities and times in the past to, you know, be friends, and all of a sudden, it's like a barrier, it's like an isolation. It may very well be, after I've read the Proverbs on this, that this is one of the major reasons why friends are separated from each other. Somebody believed a rumor. Somebody did something in the wrong way and ruined somebody's life, and it wasn't done properly, and they didn't go to the right person, and there's all kinds of things that could happen. Proverbs 16:28 says, we just read it a moment ago, a whisperer separates the best of friends. You start spreading rumor and slander, and you'll separate the best of friends. By the way, you'll find the best of friends will get closer when they know each other's faults and they know their mistakes, and they still love them anyway and refuse to tell anybody else but continue to honor each other. Have you ever noticed that? Aren't you glad that there are people that know you and haven't told anybody yet? Huh? Amen? Is there anything more wonderful than that, that some other human being really knows you, knows a lot about you, and still likes you anyway, and won't tell your story to anybody else? Isn't that great? You kind of live on eggshells for a long time wondering, I wonder if they'll ever say anything to anybody. And then the years roll by and you realize they haven't, and you say, you know, that's a friend. As a friend covers, a friend loves at all times. Boy, there's a tremendous need for this in our church, isn't there? Amen, Christians? We all need friends like that, because, hey, we blow it often. We urge one another, and hopefully the preaching will continue to be that, to walk with God and be all that God wants us to be. But you and I both know that we all make mistakes. We stumble, we fall, and we disappoint. We don't live up to all we want to be. That's a wonderful thing about God's grace and love and forgiveness. And boy, that should characterize us as much as it does our Lord. Aren't you glad that He knows all about you and He still loves you and thinks you're worth using? Amen? Because some of us don't think so. Amen. Chapter 17, verse 9. Here's what it says. He who covers a transgression seeks love. You say, I want to seek love, man. I need to find love in my life. Oh, great. Then just cover transgressions. Just protect people. And it says, he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. There it is again. What's a consequence of gossip? It separates friends from each other. And a third characteristic is in chapter 25, verse 23, or a third consequence of gossip. Chapter 25, verse 23. Is anyone else hot? Man, it's hot in here. Praise the Lord. I think I'll switch and preach on hell. Verse 23, chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind, it says, brings forth rain. This is very interesting. And a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Wow. And then you know what some people do who cause that say, well, don't get mad. Oh, wait a minute. You caused it. You caused it. Interesting, a backbiting tongue causes an angry countenance. What else did you expect? And all of us better be careful, folks, that sometimes we're causing the problem by simply telling what we're telling. And it produces anger. Number four, another consequence is that it will not go unpunished. It will not escape. Look at Psalm 101, please. Psalm 101, verse 5. Gossip will not go unpunished. God's going to deal with it. You will not escape if you're a gossip. It's going to come back on you. Proverbs 101, verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor or his friend, him I will destroy, said God. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. God says, I'll destroy the person who gossips. Chapter 19 of Proverbs, please. And look at verse 5 and 9. Chapter 19, Proverbs, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Verse 9 repeats the exact same thing again. Look at chapter 26, verse 27. Here's an important principle about gossiping. And many other things. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. Now, you can't ask for a more graphic proverb than that. You dig a pit for somebody to fall into, and you can do it verbally. The Bible says, watch out, you're going to fall in the same pit. You roll a stone of criticism, slander, rumor, gossip. You had nothing to do with it. You had no part in it. You don't know whether it's the truth or not. You spread it. You roll it around. Guess what? It's going to come towards you also. If I'm understanding the proverb right, you are guilty of gossip. Guess what? There's going to be a lot of people who will rumor things about you. They'll slander you. Look at chapter 30, please, verse 10. Do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. Guilt, punishment will not escape. God makes it very clear. You spend your time gossiping, tearing down, rumor things, criticizing others verbally, and you're going to suffer the consequences for it. Now let's get to the hope. How do we control this problem? How do we control it? I guess the first time somebody says, have you heard? Right there, you need to stop. Am I supposed to hear this? Is there something I can do about it, or why are you telling me? Could I share something with you? It's really in private, and I just need to tell somebody. Does it involve me? Should I hear it? You know, folks, there are a lot of things being said, especially among Christians, that ought never to have been said. They don't do anybody any good. They're not helping anybody at all. How do you control gossip? And I want to use the word desire, and I want you to think about your own heart. Number one, there's a desire in you to protect. If there's a desire to protect, you'll start controlling your gossip. Proverbs 10:12. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Chapter 11, verse 13. He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. Proverbs 17, verse 9, a wonderful verse. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. An interesting verse in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. It comes down at verse 7. And that verse says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And when it says it bears all things, that's the Greek word. It's used in modern Greek today for the roof of a house. What it literally says is love covers all things. And that's right from the Proverbs. That's what God's love is about. When it controls your life, there's a desire to protect people, not to hurt them and not to spread rumor. Number two, there's a desire to forgive. If you want to control gossip, there's a built-in desire in your heart because you've tasted deeply of the Lord's grace in your life. There's a desire to forgive. That's your immediate response no matter what somebody has done. Is your immediate response to jump all over them, to point out how terrible they are, that they don't deserve anything that God's giving them? Or is there in your heart a desire to forgive? Doesn't exclude confrontation, accountability, but what goes on in our hearts is very critical. And we read in Proverbs 19, verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. There's a desire to forgive that is the mark of a godly person who does not want to be dominated by gossip or listening to it. Number three, there's a desire to know the truth. When you're walking with the Lord, you want to know the truth. It doesn't matter what was shared. And sometimes it's difficult to find out. But you want to go to the horse's mouth, so to speak, and find out exactly what is the truth there. In Proverbs 15, verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge or spread knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The person who walks with the Lord, who has the wisdom of God, always wants to know the truth. Verse 14, same chapter, 15. It says, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. If you have a heart of understanding, you're going to seek knowledge. You want to know the truth. In chapter 18, verse 15, the heart... The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And again, over and over again in Proverbs, those are just a few examples. People who walk with the Lord, who are godly, who are wise, are always ones who want to know the truth. They do not accept hearsay and rumor and gossip and do not want to spread it. That desire to protect is there, that desire to forgive, that desire to know the truth. Fourth, a desire to heal. The person who controls gossip is a desire to heal. Gossip hurts, doesn't heal. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health or healing. When you speak about something in a delicate matter, is there a desire to know the truth and a desire to heal and restore the situation? When you hear of somebody that's spreading rumor and something's not true and this has hurt friendships, and what are you doing about it? Are you trying to help that and trying to heal that, trying to find the truth of it and trying to bring those friends together? Gossip only continues the separation. It's a terrible thing. I've seen people who call themselves Christians, have been active in the church. I've seen them literally group around the different sides of a rumor and continue the separation of close friends. Hey, if we walk with the Lord, we're going to find out what's true. We're going to go after that truth. And we're going to protect everybody until we find out what the truth is. And our whole goal is to heal the relationship, to restore the relationship, and not let it keep going on. Number five, if you're going to control gossip, there's a desire to know all sides of an issue. This is a very delicate matter. Proverbs 18, verse 17. Proverbs 18, verse 17. If you're going to control gossip and rumors, there needs to be a desire to know all sides of an issue. Don't just take one person's report. In Proverbs 18, 17, it says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor or friend comes and examines him. Boy, is that ever the truth. The first person to tell you something always seems right until you hear the other side. And we need to be wise, not that we're questioning and doubting what somebody says, but that we are careful with a desire to protect, to love, to forgive, to heal. We want to know all sides of an issue. Well, I heard what you said. Might be important for us to hear what the other party said. That would be really important. You know, I've seen people unable to produce the truth because of hurt. Totally unable. They want, like crazy, they want to resolve and they want to tell you, but they can't tell you the truth because they only see it from their viewpoint. I'm thinking now of an issue that happened to me in the early 1960s. And there are two Christian people who love the Lord and were servants of the Lord. And each one of them had a grievance against each other. And I will not describe it. I have no desire to embarrass that situation at all. Both of them felt they were absolutely right. And in this particular case, neither one of them were right. But both of them believed that they were right and believed the other person had indeed done unjust actions toward them. As it all came out a little bit later, neither one of them were correct. The truth was somewhere in the middle. And the truth was known by somebody not involved with either one of them. Now, I presented something, and some of you are right now saying, boy, could you share that in a little more detail with us? Yeah, they are tasty trifles, aren't they? A desire to protect. And my friends, I have seen that happen. You don't necessarily know the truth. You just think you do. And when you want to control this in your own life and to really be godly, you will always desire to know all sides of an issue. And sometimes you need to ask yourself, why am I even wanting to know? Am I involved in this? Number six, there's always a desire to be careful. to be careful. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32. Proverbs 10 verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. You know, the word appropriate or proper or acceptable is a very important word. Some people don't like it because they think, you know, tell it like it is. Hey, we're not always to tell it like it is. We're always to tell the truth. But the way we say something is important. And a righteous man knows what is acceptable, what is appropriate, what is proper, and what is fitting. And that's very important to understand. Be careful what you say about someone else. In chapter 15, verse 28. Have you ever heard this? Oh, I've known him for years and he's always like that. You know, I've lived long enough now to know that that is a lie from hell. Didn't come from the Bible. I've seen people change. Have you? I've seen people have a pattern for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, their whole life has changed. They're totally different in every way. And then you run into somebody from the past. I know what you were like. That's true. You know what I was like. But by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, I have found my life increasingly being changed by the power of God. I now want things I didn't want before. I now have gotten out of my life things that I had in there that didn't belong. Listen, folks, we can all change. Don't get so old that you say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Okay, because that didn't come from the Bible either. That comes from hell. Anybody can change. You say, well, I'm 85, I'm not changing now. Well, we're all praying that you will. Look, folks, we can all change. We really can. And we need to be careful. And too many times we say something that's not appropriate. It's not acceptable. It's not fitting. It's not proper. And it hurts rather than helps. Be careful. In chapter 15, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. A righteous person thinks about it before they speak. In chapter 21, verse 23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Boy, is that ever the truth. Troubles come because you didn't put a guard over your mouth and you told somebody something that you shouldn't have told them. And then you later learn it wasn't the truth. And you know how the embarrassment of that can happen. When something like that happens, it is indeed humiliating and embarrassing to go back to each person, which is what you ought to do, and say, you know, I told you that so-and-so did that, and I found out that is not true, and I want to ask your forgiveness. I should never have told you that, and I am very embarrassed by the whole thing, and I've learned a real lesson about that. I just hope you'll forgive me. And to call every single person that you ever told something to that, in fact, was not true and was merely rumor. Boy, a lot of us are going to be on the phone a lot tonight. And number seven, and finally, if you want to control gossip, there's a desire to protect and forgive and to know the truth and to heal, to know all sides of an issue, to be careful, but there's also a desire to love others. I don't know how to tell you this. When I study it, I want to tell myself. And so I'll do it that way and you'll get the point. I kept asking myself, do I really love other people? Now, it's a good question. Now, I know I love myself. I have no doubt about that. And I know the Bible exhorts me to love other people. And I sometimes have to ask myself, do I really love other people? Well, I'm quick to give you a few examples, of course. And so are you. It's not something we want to boast about or brag about, is it? It's something we need to penetrate our own hearts about. Do you really love other people? I find that interesting in the light of this passage, Leviticus chapter 19, please, and we'll wrap it up. Leviticus chapter 19. In God's law, this business of loving other people is associated with gossip. Leviticus chapter 19. Pick it up at verse 15 and read down to verse 18. Very interesting insight about loving others as it relates to gossip. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. Did you find that interesting already? Wouldn't you have expect to have read from God, you shall not be partial to the rich? He said, you shall not be partial to the poor. Isn't that an interesting insight? Nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Always do what is right, no matter what. You shall not go about as a talebearer, a gossip among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your friend. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your brother and not bear sin because of him, but you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Hey, if we want to control gossip, friends, it's obvious we need to love other people. And Jesus took this teaching and said to his disciples the night before he went to the cross, a new commandment I give unto you. It wasn't new from the standpoint of time. It was in Leviticus 19. The Greek word is not new, meaning new in time. It's a word new, meaning fresh. And here was the key. He said, a fresh commandment about this I'm giving you, that you love one another, and here's the freshness, as I loved, past tense, you. A phrase repeated in the epistles, repeated in the gospels, repeated in the writings of John many times, all rooted in the cross. Whenever you want to love somebody, you think of what I have done for you. Whenever you want to spread a rumor, you think of the day I died on the cross for what's wrong with you. When you think of a wrong that's been done to you, a transgression, a hurt, something said to you, a criticism, something you can't handle, when you think of that, Jesus said, you remember that I died on the cross for you, and you forgive them like I forgave you. A new, fresh commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Let's close with prayer. Father, you know how easy it is for us to drift away from the teaching of your word. Our natural tendency of our depraved hearts leads us far from you and your word. And the self-centeredness and selfishness of our life keeps us from admitting that we've been wrong. Help us, Lord, to be more controlled and protective of one another. Father, we know in your word that when a brother or sister does fall into sin, you exhorted those who are spiritual to seek to restore such a one with a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We do no good when we tell other people who are not involved. Oh God, teach us to be more protective. Teach us, Lord, that we need the love of the Holy Spirit controlling us if we're to love other people. God, I don't know what burdens and problems may be in this meeting, but you do, and you're the God who can heal. As I interrupt my prayer for a moment, I wonder how many of us say, you know, David, while you were talking, there's something I have done or was done to me that's been very hurtful, and I need it healed and restored. It's either been done to you, or you know now that you caused it. And you know it needs to be healed and restored. Just as an act of faith and desire, would you right now just raise your hand right to heaven, right now? Yes, many of you. You know something's been done or said, it was hurtful, or you yourself caused it and you know it. And right now, by just lifting your hand, you say, Lord, I need this healed. I need this restored. God bless you, many of you. Let's just pray for one another as we conclude. God, there is so much hurt among us over things that were said that should never have been said. And Lord, we know what your word has said, and we need to love each other more than ever before. Bind us together, Father. May we love each other with a bond of your love and seek to help and restore and to heal our relationships one with another. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.